The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
It's been a while since we've been on live. Aaron and I have taken some time off, pre-recorded some shows, but we are back. We decided to get a life, and we both took a couple of trips, and here we are. So join us, please. Give us a call at 530-605-4567 to stream live or join our chat room. Go to wethepeopleradio.us, and please do join us. Good morning, Chandler. Chandler is our sound engineer. He's on the phone, but I know he would say hello if he could, and you're joining your hosts, Aaron and Elizabeth, and we have a special guest in the studio today.
Okay, we have a special guest that was really inspired, I guess, by our online guest's book. I got Holly Swanson's book, and I started reading about what they're teaching kids in school and what they're teaching them about the environment and the green movement and a lot of the things that are really hyped and basically not true. And
propaganda.
And agenda-driven. And so Carlin is 10, and she and I were talking about having her come up and visit. And I thought, hey, what better way to show her what's going on than to take her? So we went on a journey.
So, Carlin, when you go back to school, I'm assuming this week, and your teachers tell you that there are no forests left, what are you going to tell them?
I can tell them that I went to the redwoods and saw, like, thousands of trees.
So they're alive and well, despite what you hear.
Yeah.
We figured it out. We drove 600 miles because we went to Eureka, and then we finally went to the Trees of Mystery. Finally. And it's fun.
It is fun.
It's super a great fun. Place. That was like our foggiest day.
And I wanted to say that I logged 3,200 miles on my 2-week road trip with my husband, and we went through Washington State, Idaho, and Colorado. And again, the trees are alive and well.
Yeah, no kidding. We spent quite a bit of time at the ocean, and then we scurried through Oregon and blew past Mount Shasta. Oh, yesterday we went to the caverns, Shasta Caverns. That was fun. Yeah, so it's the best part.
So nature is still thriving.
Absolutely.
And before we do join our guest, I just wanted to remind everybody that the premise of this show is limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. So most of our show topics and our guests kind of revolve around those three ideas.
Exactly. We started our trip when I picked Carlin up down in Williams. It's funny, we were talking on our way up, and I was asking her about taxes.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about taxes and how when you go to buy stuff, you know, there's always taxes on top of it.
Yep.
So it's fun to kind of go blow through Oregon and try it with no taxes.
And it's wonderful to have conversations with kids this age. You know, I had a conversation with my 10-year-old niece several months ago about Blockbuster, and she was wondering why you couldn't just go in and Blockbuster would just give you a movie to watch for free, because she swore she would bring it back. And so we pointed out the cost of the electricity, the employees, the fixtures, the rental on the building. So, folks, you do have an opportunity out there. When your kids ask what seem to be innocent questions, take advantage of the opportunity to teach them.
Exactly. And better yet, if you live in a great place, you know, show them.
Yeah.
Show them.
Yeah.
I mean, were the redwoods bigger than you thought, Carlin?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're huge, huh?
Bigger than the trees that live in our house, or by our house.
Yeah. She's down out of Sacramento, and I said, well, till you see these trees.
Yeah.
So you guys had a good time.
We saw way more trees than people.
That's kind of nice sometimes.
Yeah, it was fun. Mm-hmm. We ate a lot of seafood, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we participated in the killing of many, many fish.
Great.
Productive killing of many, many fish.
Yes. So our guest today?
Yeah.
She on the line?
Yeah, we have Holly Swanson on the line.
Good morning, Holly.
Good morning. How are you today? We're great. We're awesome, and we're recommending that everybody get set up and sold out. Find out what green really means. What a great title for your book.
Hey, Holly, before we actually get started, why don't you shoot out your website, because maybe the folks that are at home streaming live can actually pull up your website and follow along while we're talking.
Well, I would absolutely love to do that, but we are right now updating it, so it is not up and running.
Okay, not a problem.
I'm sorry about that. We are moving it into the 21st century, however.
No sweat. When you get it, send it to us, and we will update it, because at WeThePeopleRadio.us, this page for today's program, will have the archive of the show, and it also has all the information about your book and a bunch of information about you, and so people can email that to other folks, and when you update the page, it'll go right with it.
Great. That's perfect. That's perfect. And in the meantime, if they would like to get in touch, I would assume that our email is up there as well.
It is. All those good things are on here. And there's a book link to Amazon. Robert's got that on here for us. Thanks, Robert. That was kind of a, I put him under the gun. I was traveling, and I thought I had sent him all this, but he whipped this up last night like magic, and starts with Operation Greenout. And so what gave you the idea to do the book?
It needed to be done. That's the bottom line. Back in the late 80s, I was hearing conflicting information, depending on who you spoke with, regarding what was going on with the environmental movement. And so I decided to attend some environmental conferences and find out for myself, because we all want clean air and clean water. And, you know, I wanted to know more. And when I went to these conferences, what I heard was nothing like what I anticipated. It was all about politics and how can we move this agenda forward and that agenda forward, and how can we put loggers out of business and cattlemen out of business. And I was shocked. And I took this information to some of our political leaders in D.C., and one of the people back there basically said to me, I will never forget this, that it really doesn't matter what the American people think about these issues. Anything that's going to be decided about the environmental movement is going to be decided right here inside the Beltway, and so it really doesn't matter what the American people think. So I came back and wrote the book.
Wow.
And because I think it does matter.
It does. Yeah, it does matter. And it does matter, I guess, the other really big thing, and that was, I don't know if you were on with us, but we have my niece, who is 10 years old, came up to visit from Sacramento, and your book really reminded me how important it is to teach our kids what's going on. I mean, all we have to do really is show them what's going on. And down in Sacramento, you know, they don't have necessarily the wildlife and the forest and stuff that we have in Northern California, but it's going to be tough for them to tell her that all that is disappearing, you know, that the loggers have cut all the redwoods, for instance. You know, we went and saw them.
Well, and see, that firsthand is so very helpful. The unfortunate part is that so many of our children, 89% of our children, approximately attend public schools, and many of those are in the city, and the curriculum right now is designed specifically to indoctrinate our children to the idea that fits right along with the Green Party ideology. And this was another reason I wrote the book, just to backtrack just a second, is that at these environmental conferences back in the late 80s, information about the Green Party was intermersed on the information tables, right along with the Sierra Club, the National Wildlife Federation, the Natural Resource Defense Council, etc. And I didn't understand the connection. And the connection is that the environmental cause, whatever it started out to be, has been hijacked and is not a nonpartisan movement. It is advancing the goals laid out by the Greens, and that is Green Parties and international green political movements. And that is why now, as we see, the green movement, the environmental cause, has now been renamed the Green Movement. And that's because of that direct connection. And this Go Green, everything green in schools for our children, is designed to politically indoctrinate them to support Green Party ideology.
Yeah, you have a lot of really interesting links and lists in your book. The one that I was kind of blown away by was Subvert the Dominant Paradigm. And here it talked about the Green Party Alliance and the members of the Green Group. First one, I think the one that people would go, huh, is the Children's Defense Fund. And then you move on to the people that you think about, you know, Defenders of Wildlife, Environmental Defense Fund, Friends of the Earth, you know, all that kind of stuff. But Children's Defense Fund?
And number one?
I was like, hey, that's a newsflash.
Well, and again, the names of organizations can be so misleading. And the idea to put these values into our schools designed as curriculum when they're definitely a political ideology, and you're exactly right. No one would suspect that the Children's Defense Fund would be part of this, or that Earth Day basically would be a front for the Greens.
Yeah.
And it certainly is. And there's information further in the book that one of the things that the Greens were talking about is making Earth Day bigger than Christmas in our schools. And this was back in the 90s. And where are we now?
I wish you could see us. We're all making faces.
Yeah.
we're all sitting here going, what?
We have faces
Ew,
for radio, but you should see them.
Hey, you know what? We've
and you're making faces, why?
Because it's like, what? We're making those like,
are you kidding me?
Christmas is so fun.
It is. It's about celebrating family
good food and...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what Earth Day has been presented as a wonderful celebration of the natural world, which we all love. But the attached ideology to Earth Day, when you celebrate it, you celebrate now Earth Day, Earth Week, Earth Month, and each part of that, you know, carries with it a piece of the ideology that, unfortunately, is designed, one, to shift the focus of our children and the teachers and others as well from the Creator to creation, as well as advance the philosophy of the Green parties. And it's designed, as you think about this, one of the base philosophies of the Greens is that humans are part of nature, which is a humanist, deep ecology ideology.
But it's so, so subtle.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So subtle. Hey, not so subtle, but we do have to take a break here and thank our advertisers.
Sure.
We're going to be back with you guys in 2 minutes with Holly Swanson. We're here on WeThePeopleRadio.us if you'd like to join us to chat here at KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
We really like to let you listen to the lyrics of our music. We have a point to make always. So welcome back to We the People Radio. You're joining Elizabeth Aaron and our special guest in the studio,
Carlin York.
Carlin. Had to remember the name and our very special
Carlin,
guest, Holly Swanson.
You're in what grade?
Fifth.
You're in fifth grade this year. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So we are talking to Holly Swanson, and if you want to join us, go to the chat room at wethepeopleradio.us. We're streaming live. If you want to give us a call, the number is 530-605-4567. We really do love to hear from you.
And we played that last song because in Holly's book, like the first major chapter, talks all about the connection between this green movement and the communists. I mean, it's fairly... You've done a really nice job, Holly. You've got some nice lists. Looks like when you go to buy a printer at home, you know, or Office Depot, you know, and you look at all the criteria, you've got all the Lenin criteria, all the Hitler criteria, and all the Green Movement criteria, and it's just amazing how much overlap there is.
It is amazing. In fact, I'm sure you've seen it, but on page, I believe it's 382, that I have a comparison chart, and it compares specifically the kind of the propaganda, the language that Lenin used to set people up to accept the idea of communism and make it sound wonderful, and then the Greens, and then the President's Council on Sustainable Development under Clinton, and then the Earth Charter, which we'll hopefully talk about a little bit later, but that's Gorbachev's pet project, a document designed to rival the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, anyway, he calls it.
Four,
yeah, he called Gorbachev sees the Earth Charter as the new Ten Commandments.
Yes, he does.
I guess that replaces religion.
Well, pretty much. Yeah, and if you think about it, if the Earth Charter, according, I mean, beyond the arrogance of Gorbachev saying that, if the Earth Charter is a new Ten Commandments, then you're certainly planning to do away with the old.
Yeah.
Ten Commandments.
And
also, as we're on that topic, in the Earth Charter, he sees it as a new set of shared values for a sustainable future. In other words, we all need to have these shared values. Well, in America, we already do have a document with shared values, and it's called the Bible. And the idea that the Earth Charter is going to be a new Ten Commandments, a new Sermon on the Mount, a new set of shared values, it is designed specifically to shift the focus away from our Creator.
Now, Holly, as you've done your research and you put your book together and you speak mm-hmm. around the nation, statistically speaking, what percentage of people are really buying into this green movement? I mean, I know that people all have the best intentions to do what's right for the earth. We all do. But how many people, are, statistically speaking, are really falling for this?
I think there's a smaller percentage falling for it than you would normally anticipate. I think a lot of people have jumped onto it as a fashionable trend, mm-hmm. and I'd have to think about that percentage for just a moment. But I just was thinking a couple of things. Right now, a survey just came out that 69% of the American people now believe that the climate gate, literally, was correct, that the numbers were skewed to advance whatever agenda these groups were advancing. And so I think that speaks clearly that the American people are aware, more than 50% are aware, that something's gone drastically wrong if they're playing with the scientific numbers. The concern, again, is that the Greens are targeting specifically our children, and our children do not know what makes a society work or not work. They do not understand the value of the U.S. Constitution and this republic and the importance of free thought and freedom. And so the targeting of our children is specifically to get 89% or more of our children to buy into this philosophy and basically toe the party line. And, you know, free thought is so very important. And is it Carlin?
Yeah.
Carlin. Hello, Carlin.
Hi.
Well, I would say probably, you know, as I think through the percentages, I don't know.
Okay.
That would be so hard to guesstimate.
Well, see, they've done the. I mean, it's really masterful, actually, the way this has been crafted. Because to be anti-green, it's kind of like, okay, that's. You know, you have to continually qualify. It's like, that's not what I meant. But I was telling these guys during the break, I mean, my kids are in their 30s, and I mm-hmm. lived in Humboldt County back when, you know, Earth Day was really becoming big in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny. My instinct then and my instinct now was to fight against it. You know, we saved up our recycling, and we saved up all our stuff, and we took it to the dump that day. We left our doors open, we turned our heat on, we left our lights on, we drove all over the place. It was like, we literally did...
Your own form of protest.
We literally did a family protest, and their dad was he hauled logs, and we saw what was happening to the timber industry back then, and we knew it was fake. Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew that whole spotted owl thing was a big hoax, and it was a way to close down their industry. We didn't have any idea they'd actually win.
No,
but
people, it seems so bizarre.
Yeah.
That people have a tendency. Oh, you know, they're not going to put the cattlemen out of business. Oh, they're not going to take our cars.
Well, and I think people have an innately they trust, and they don't
exactly.
really want to believe that there would be a master design to take down an entire industry and destroy whole communities.
Exactly.
But it was so controlling. You know, it was like, you have to do this and you have to do that, and we're all going to do it together. And it's like, Nah, I don't think we are.
And in this country, I think that we really get tired of being told what to do and being told that whatever we are doing isn't enough or isn't good enough. Mm-hmm. Our fighting spirit, you know, seems to come out in the end.
Yeah, but don't you find that people kind of go with this because you do sort of look like a hater if you're not, you know?
Well, it is presented as such a safe, cuddly, you know, nice kind of thing. And the whole idea of going green on college campuses or in high schools, when you were talking a moment ago about the peer pressure, that's very, very strong. And it is just as strong in the universities when you have the university heads signing on to, I mean, I don't know how many presidents of universities signed on to the climate pact, basically, to make their universities climate neutral and all these ideas of sustainability. And again, it's presented as somewhat of a social imperative as well as a political imperative. And people have not been looking at the political strings attached to this curriculum and this, as you said, by design, this overall plan to hijack public education, politicize the curriculum, and indoctrinate our children. And the peer pressure, there's teachers that don't know about this, and then there's teachers, green teachers, that are pushing this in the classroom and even using grade discrimination to force children to give the answer that they want to have. What is the sustainable answer? And,
wow.
And just as an aside, just if you think about words that have been politicized, green used to be a color. Now it is representative of a whole movement, a political movement, both nationally, locally, and globally. The term pot, that used to just be a kitchen utensil. Now if I say the word pot, was that the first thing that came to your mind?
Nope. We all made the face again.
Yeah,
exactly, the face again. Okay, and for example, the word gay. That just used to mean a happy heart. Now that word has been hijacked and politicized and is representative of a political movement and a lifestyle that goes with it. The same is true of sustainability. Sustainability, what you and I might think of sustainable, is, you know, taking care of things, doing the best we can, leaving things better than we found them. According to the Greens, and it's vitally important since they're the ones defining this term, to understand what they mean by it. And according to the Greens, sustainability means everything from using public education to diminish the value of individual success. Instead of teaching our children that they can become anything they would and could be and fulfill their dreams, it's teaching them that they need to reduce their consumption in all areas of their life by 75%.
Well, look what they've done with the word smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if you're not into smart growth, you must be stupid, but that's not the case.
Yeah, it really, from a marketing standpoint, absolutely brilliant, because it just circles around behind you and then pushes you from the back.
And they're really good at the insidious, slow, manipulative way of getting into people's lives.
Sure.
Really, really
you gotta
sneaky.
Have, well, let's say you make a law so you can't have the regular light bulbs. You know,
well, yeah.
Not really
yeah,
optional
in
anymore.
Multiple, yeah. Absolutely. And you think about the danger of those light bulbs, and once again, you know, there's contradictions throughout the green movement, which is very important to note, that these light bulbs, you know, are not necessarily safe. And yet, who are they targeting to go get your parents to change their light bulbs?
Yeah, the kids at school.
They're targeting the children.
Yeah,
and that's really
if you don't have those light bulbs, you're wasting. You are a waster.
Exactly.
Okay, we can go. We have 2 minutes to waste now.
Okay.
We listen to our advertisers. We'll be back with Holly Swanson. We're discussing her book and ideas that come from Set Up and Sold Out. Find out what green really means. And I think you guys are going to learn a lot this morning. We're looking forward to it. We're here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. as the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round. Round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows.
Yeah, where are we all going to end up? It's just spinning out of control. Welcome back to We the People Radio. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 530-605-4567. To chat or stream live, go to wethepeopleradio.us. We are here with Holly Swanson, and she is the author of Set Up and Sold Out, Find Out What Green Really Means. She kind of teaches us about the political agendas behind the green movement and sustainable development and all things apparently healthy and natural. So, Holly, what drove you to write this book?
Well, because I care about the environment as just like everybody else, and the deception that, for example, when I went to some of these environmental conferences, as I mentioned earlier, I picked up all kinds of literature, including information on the green parties here in the United States. And the more I read, the more concerned I became. When I started seeing these things come out in television specials, these ideas be presented on the evening news as a factual report, I was very concerned with the deception, because you have people going along with this because, as I think, Elizabeth, you mentioned earlier about being very trusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're very trusting. And the point of that is that as I saw this coming to pass, I knew that we would end up exactly where the Greens were headed, which is toward green communism. That's the term I coined, because people were not suspecting that there was anything wrong, and this agenda was being advanced under the guise of environmental protection. And I wrote the book to expose the fact that there is a partisan political agenda that the environmental cause, the environmental movement, the green movement, is advancing under the guise of environmental protection. The issues are being twisted to advance that specific agenda of the Greens, and that's parties and international green movements.
Now, the book I'm looking at is your updated third edition, so I'm assuming that as this thing progresses, you're staying on top of it and coming out with a newer version of your book as that happens.
Yes.
Okay.
And what it has done is just confirmed and reconfirmed, and the updated edition pretty much slam dunks the point that the message of Set Up and Sold Out, that the environmental cause has been hijacked, the goals that is advancing mirror the goals of the Green Parties, and Green Party goals mirror communism, and that's going to be the outcome unless we take two steps back and start looking at these issues from a political, not an environmental perspective.
Now, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because you wrote this in 1995.
The first edition came out in 1995. That's correct. And then I updated it in 98. And now this is the third updated edition. And after that, I founded the Operation Greenout campaign, or actually quite just previous to the updated third edition, to get green politics out in the open nationally and out of America's schools.
Now, do you tie this movement to Agenda 21?
Well, Agenda 21 is, it's definitely part of this movement. It's an action plan. But from my research, the driving force behind this is the green movement. In other words, Agenda 21 would simply be a book. It is the Greens that give it legs. It is the Greens that give it power. Otherwise, it wouldn't have mattered back in 1992 that, you know, it was signed as soft law. It would have just stopped right there.
Now,
and I was just going to say, and the impetus, the Greens were already up and running well before 1984, and the communists long before that. And the goals in the Agenda 21 are straight out of the Green Party ideology.
Now, how does global warming tie into this?
Well, one of the easiest ways to explain that is that back in 1989, in one of the very first Green Party programs, they outlined specifically the Greens. And when I speak of the Greens, when I say they, I am talking about the global Green Parties, including the U.S. Green Parties, the global green political movements, those under this umbrella that call themselves progressives, socialists, communists, all of that under this umbrella. And in 1989, they said specifically, the Greens, that the greenhouse effect would be a perfect tool to play basically the survival card to bring about social change. And so the Greens knew way back then that it was a good tool. You know, fear is what they've been using to scare our children into compliance, and it also works on adults.
Sure, because if there's no earth, you know, if there isn't going to be an earth left, and there isn't going to be any clean water, and there won't be any clean air, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So somebody on the chat room wanted to know where they get their funding.
Well, primarily, you know, the American people have anteed up and given the environmental groups, you know, millions of dollars
mm-hmm.
to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also important when yeah. you're talking about global warming. If you look on page 322 of the book Set Up and Sold Out, there's a quote, and this again is from a 1989 issue of Discover magazine. And what Stephen Schneider said back then, and he is one of the leading climate modelers, he said, we need to get some broad-based support to capture the public's imagination. That, of course, entails getting loads of media coverage, so we have to offer up scary scenarios, make simplified, dramatic statements, and make little mention of any doubts we may have. Each of us has to decide what is the right balance between being effective and being honest. So, in other words, back in 1989, lying to advance the fear of global warming was part of the plan.
Yeah, it's pretty bad when you have to... The balance between being effective and being honest. When being yeah. honest is on one side, I mean, when that's a balancing point.
Shouldn't be.
No, that should be kind of a given.
You either have integrity or you don't.
Sure.
So is
and
there...
science is based on facts, not, you know, somebody said this so effectively, you know, the climate situation should be decided on facts, not how many people you can convince and how many hands go up in the room to decide whether or not it's true or not.
So in going through the kids in the schools, in addition to, you know, programming them to turn out to be the kind of adults that the green movement wants, are they also mm-hmm. hoping that these kids can go back and have a change of heart in terms of their parents? Are they hoping the kids can pull their parents into this mindset if they aren't already?
Well, definitely they're hoping that the children will influence their parents, absolutely. But there's also something else a little more, I believe, sinister that goes with that, and that is to teach these children to eat green, live green, worship green, and vote green, mm-hmm. vote single-party rule, and basically that would be in support of a ideology that mirrors communism. And when it comes to the parents, if the parents were to say, well, that's not a good idea, I think that this particular quote from Set Up and Sold Out, and this one is on page 137, and this is from Captain Eco, and this is a child's book about the environment. This was put out by Ted Turner, I believe, or Jonathan Porritt, funded by Ted Turner. I believe that's correct. But here's what it says. This is from Captain Eco. Here's the picture in a nutshell. Your planet's in serious trouble from pollution, toxic waste, and the loss of farmland and fresh water. Forest farmland and fresh water. Your parents and grandparents have made a mess of looking after the earth. They may deny it, but they're little more than thieves, and they're stealing your future right from under your noses. And this is from a 1991
wow.
child's book on the earth.
That's scary.
It's pitting the child against their parents, and the, you know, if you truly believed in the natural order, who takes care of who? Does the cub take care of the lion and lioness, or does the lion and lioness take care of the cub?
Right.
The parents have, they are the tutors, they are the nurturers,
and you know,
pitting a child against their parents.
And if you look at that statement that parents and grandparents are destroying the earth, mm-hmm. historically, that's so not true, because
absolutely.
We have, you know, this country especially has been the land that has been nurtured and taken care of and produced crops that feed not only this country but many other countries. And absolutely, you certainly can't grow productive crops if you're destroying the land. You have to nurture it and you have to care for it, because mm-hmm. we've lived off of our land. So how can it be that we're destroying it? If we destroyed it, we wouldn't be living off of it as successfully as we have been.
But see, you move them all into the city, they don't work on family farms, they can't make a living with the land anymore. There's no, you can't grow up and take over your dad's logging business or a lot, in a lot of cases, your farm and your ranching business. Kids are leaving and going into the city so they can make more money. Those kids know because they grew up that way, but mm-hmm. that's not how most, and as people's money gets tighter and tighter and tighter, they don't take those car trips like we did when we were kids. I mean, we saw the countryside as kids, a lot of us. We drove through this country. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids are not going to be able to do that type of travel because their folks can't get the time off work or they don't have jobs. And so, therefore, they don't see.
Well, and if they're shown movies like The Inconvenient Truth, then they are... If that's what they're seeing in Los Angeles or Reading or
I don't think that would play so well here.
Well, I don't think it applies to Reading.
No, I mean it wouldn't play well here.
No, but if they're seeing that in New York or Los Angeles,
sure.
then that becomes their frame of reference. And this is, you know, you go right back to Stephen Schneider, decide what is the difference between being effective and being honest. So if the Greens do not mind stretching the truth or being dishonest outright, then anything goes. And if they need to convince the children, if the Greens want the children to go along with this political ideology, then scaring them into compliance is certainly one way to do it. And also telling them what is or is not sustainable according to the Greens.
Yeah, and they determine. You know, it's funny, on our chat room, people are like, we've got to get rid of these teachers that are teaching this. And, you know, I'm not totally sure that that's a workable agenda, but I do know that we all have kids that we know. And if we educate the kids,
mm-hmm. right.
I think there are obviously more kids than there are teachers.
We've all got them in our families.
Yeah, it's a little easier to get to, you know, to get to the problem that way, but I'm not exactly sure how we get through this education system. Maybe you have some insight for us. We need to take a quick break here, but when we come back,
sure.
I would like for you to finish off our first hour with that, perhaps. Things people can do. I know everyone's sitting out there, and we all do the same thing. It's like, what can we do? So if you have ideas, we want them. If you want to call us, get ready, because we're getting into that last 15 minutes of the hour. 605-4567 is the number. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Okay, and our kids are counting on us to tell them the truth. Welcome back to We the People Radio. We're at KCNR 1460. Give us a call, 530-605-4567. To chat or stream live or get all the info on today's guest, go to wethepeopleradio.us. Hey, before we get back to Holly Swanson, the expert on the green movement and what it really means, we've had some people in the chat room that want to know what Carlin thinks of this. Carlin is our 10-year-old in-studio guest today. She's the one that's getting this propaganda shoved down her throat at school. Carlin, what's your take on all of this?
Well, I don't think it's true, personally, because me and my aunt just went to the Redwoods with a whole bunch of trees, and they're still alive, so I don't think that the teachers should be teaching that.
And do they teach you that a lot?
Well, they teach different things a lot that I don't think is personally true.
Okay, and do your friends feel the same way you do?
Not all of them. a lot of my friends think all different ways.
So they're not all buying into it.
Mm-mm.
That's good to know.
Well, I mean, yeah. Shoot, we even saw, we saw a whale. We met these people, we were going along and somebody said, hey, don't forget to see the whale. We're like, huh?
What whale?
What whale? So we're driving up the highway and there were literally...
huge whale, yeah. A 42-foot whale.
Very cool.
We just pull over on the side of the road and look over a bridge down on the whale. And so the next stop we made, we told some people, hey, you need to go see the whale. And the guy, we were staying at the hotel there at Trees of Mystery, the little motel there. And
he saw a better view of than the whale washing thing in Alaska.
Yeah, he goes, we just got back from Alaska. Because I can't believe I blew all that money.
So, Holly...
So, our fish and our big mammals aren't dead either.
So, Holly, you know, we are in California, and we all know what that means. And and Carlin is an elementary school student in the state of California. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like the kids aren't buying everything that they're being told. What's your take on that? Does that give you hope?
I always have hope. I definitely have hope. And I'm delighted to hear that, Carlin. Sounds like you have a good head on your shoulders. And what I would say about that is this, that right now there is a program, a national curriculum, called Education for Sustainability. The Obama administration has said they will do everything in their power to advance this movement in education. The goal of this movement is to use every subject every day, preschool through university, to teach our children to become green citizens. Now, it is not in every school nationwide right now, and it is imperative that we get this curriculum out of our schools nationwide right now, or indoctrination, political indoctrination, will take place. The goal of Education for Sustainability is to use public education as a tool to transform our society, to change the cultural, religious, social, economic, and political structure of our nation. If we do not save our children, any other battle we win will be for naught, because as Abraham Lincoln said, the philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government the next, and that is exactly why the Greens are going after our children. And if the goal is to change the cultural, religious, social, economic, and political structure of our nation, the next question must be, to what? And that is why Set Up and Sold Out is somewhat more timely now than ever, because it answers the to what question. The documentation, the alliance with the Green Movement, it is to change our nation to align with an outcome that mirrors communism, communism.
And I really encourage people to get this book. It's laid out so well. It's very user-friendly, really easy to read. Mm-hmm. And like Aaron had mentioned, it gives lists and specific facts about all of the points that you're making in the book. Really easy to follow.
But I'll tell you, for anybody who would think that, well, I don't know, if they teach them how to you know, stop using plastic grocery bags, I mean, really, how's that going to change how they vote? But I'll tell you what, we're living it. Look at what happened in the 60s.
Absolutely.
I mean, the people from the 60s are running our government, and... you know, I hate to use a tired old phrase, but how's that working for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And, you know, when people think that the children are not learning this, so many people, I don't know what group I have spoken to recently where I ask how many people have had their children come home and say, you need to take a shorter shower. We need to, you know, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we didn't observe that, did we, Carlin?
No. But, you know, when you think about how does this affect you, as Abraham Lincoln said, the philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government the next. And when you talk about a sustainable lifestyle, just on page 400 of Set 'Em Sold Out, there's a book called Living a Sustainable Lifestyle, Living a Sustainable Lifestyle for Our Children. And here's what it says. The seven most harmful consumer purchase activities could include the following. Okay, so in other words, these are the things you don't want to purchase if your living a sustainable lifestyle. And this kind of lays out the future the Greens have in mind for you. It says, don't purchase cars and trucks, meat, fruits, vegetables, and grains, home heating and cooling, household appliances, home construction, home, water, and sewage.
And the next line is, if fruits, vegetables, grains, and meat are all harmful to consume, then what do we eat in a sustainable society?
Exactly.
Wow.
Teaching our children, you know, it's teaching our children to have a mindset of scarcity and the idea of, you know.
You'll do without.
That's exactly right.
And you'll live in a cave.
Well, you're certainly not going to aspire to achieve the American dream if you are being told that, for example, all these things are unsustainable. And, you know, the Greens laid out way early on that they would like to see everybody walk, skateboard, or use public transportation. And when you think about the current push, and former Governor Schwarzenegger has called for an end to fossil fuels, just like Al Gore did.
And I'm sorry, but if you get rid of home water and sewage, hello?
Where do we
do we go to the bathroom?
Oh, but wait, we can't fetch the water from the river because then we'd need a Fish and Game 1602 stream bed alteration permit.
Yeah. You need a special permit to get the water. And I'm sorry, where do you go to the bathroom?
back to that again.
There's a really, go ahead.
Wait, we decided backyard was the only option.
So you can see that there's a serious lack of logic in this.
Well, there is.
I mean, it's bordering on insanity.
If you look at these issues from a political, not an environmental standpoint, we need to lose the green label, check our emotions at the door, and start looking at the outcome of where the Greens are headed. And the outcome is not socialism. The outcome is power and control over the individual, and that in the end up is communism. The outcome, the end game, is communism. It's control.
Yeah.
And Gorbachev's Earth Charter says specifically that the Earth Charter is a guide for a sustainable way of life, and it is to control the conduct of individuals, businesses, governments, and transnational institutions, basically to guide and assess their people's behavior, how governments operate. And there's no freedom in that statement.
Well, on the
no freedom at all.
No, and on the facing page to the one you just pulled the seven most harmful things off of, it goes into the eco-efficiency thing, and eco-efficiency tells us to restrict industry and curtail growth, limit the creativity and productiveness of humankind. But I like the list again, a four-part list of eco-efficiency: restrict industry, restrict growth, limiting productiveness of humankind, limiting individuals' human potential. And I'll tell you what, if people are not seeing that right now, then you're not paying attention. Because when you start looking at restricting industry, Carlin and I drove through dozens of towns that are virtually dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
Even when we were coming halfway to meet each other, there were, like, all the towns that we went through were, it was like a ghost town.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing. All the lawns were dead.
Isn't that
sad? Yeah.
You can start to see it. And I've even noticed, just in our area, you will start to see a serious decline in the inability for people to maintain their homes.
Yeah.
Every other home is going to be in a horrible state of disrepair, where the next home might be in better shape, but you just start to see this real serious decline. And
sure,
anybody ought to be able to see that at this point.
Well, moving to rural America right now doesn't look like a very good deal because you can't make a living, and the permits are brutal, and you start looking at productiveness and all that. You know what, guys? We're on to the top of the hour here. You're going to hear some news for 5 minutes, and we'll be back with Holly Swanson talking more about the Greens here on We the People Radio at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Boys, you've got to draw a hard line. When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men.
crosses.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Second hour of We the People Radio. We really want to hear from you. Give us a call at 530-605-4567 to chat or stream live. Go to wethepeopleradio.us. We've got a great media page. All the information about today's guests, archived shows, and information about our sponsors. And today we're talking with a very special guest, Holly Swanson. She's written a book about the green movement, what that really means. It honestly doesn't have anything to do with the environment and has everything to do with political indoctrination.
Yeah, it's more like the green agenda, I guess. What do you say, Holly, when people ask you what you do?
Well, what I do is I do my very best to expose this nationally and to focus on getting this out of our schools, because right now we have the opportunity to do that. If we wait much longer, this curriculum will be throughout the nation, and it will be funded and pushed by the Department of Education, and we will have children that do not understand, as I said, the value of our country, the value of freedom, the value of the American dream and this nation. And with the Department of Education pushing this to create green citizens, it is an indoctrination process. We've got to get it out of our schools, and that's my mission.
So, you know, the chances that we're going to be able to eliminate the Department of Education are probably pretty slim. So what we really need to do is work at the local level and attend the school board meetings, I would assume.
Well, we need to get this out of our schools, yes. We need to get the curriculum, education for sustainability curriculum, out of our schools. This is a somebody's idea. This is not a proven path for America. You know, we already do as citizens. We already take care of our land, our private property. You know, this is not an experiment. It is a success story, the American legacy. And basically, you know, the American standard of a politically neutral public education is an essential safeguard to free thought, individual freedom, and our democratic process. And right now, public education has been compromised. And more intrusion of this curriculum is occurring in schools every day. And in fact, in California, just recently, I don't know the exact date, but the governor just signed AB 48.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. We're very familiar with that
which
one.
Which mandates, there you go.
Yeah, it's SB, not that it matters when you get down to it, but SB 48 if people look it up.
Okay, SB 48, sorry, read it wrong.
No, that's okay.
But that, again, it mandates there's no parental opt-out. It mandates that the children learn from K through 12 in history and social studies the idea of same-sex marriage, and it's not just a values education, it is an indoctrination. This is what the Greens laid out as an agenda, not only that children would be out learning all about the great school of nature, which gives them the option to teach this deep ecology and the philosophy of their political party, but also in every other aspect of the curriculum to teach a whole different set of ideas and beliefs. And that's when you look at education for sustainability, to teach the children to basically as a tool use education to change the cultural, religious, social, economic, and political structure of our nation. The way the Greens are doing that is to target our children, and the job isn't done yet. That's why we've got to move and stop this indoctrination, but basically teach our children to all think the same. And then the Carlins of the world won't be able to, you know, basically
their voice will be lost.
They'll be able to defend their position, but the majority will be single-party rule.
And, you know,
that's what happened in Russia.
If you're looking for insanity,
honestly, it's so easy to find because, what was it this week? There was a move to have Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street get married. Thank goodness.
Are you kidding?
You didn't hear that?
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
No, I missed that one.
Okay. Let me tell you. It
was Are you serious?
I'm very serious. There was a big push, and I don't know exactly who was behind it, but there was a liberal push, literally, to try to get, there were petitions being circulated to try to get Bert and Ernie married on Sesame Street.
Oh.
And fortunately, the producers stood up and said, okay, enough is enough. This is insanity. They are good friends and they will stay good friends.
Are you serious?
But that's how insane this thing is getting.
Yeah, that's
seriously.
Gosh.
No, we were checking out the ocean.
I know. I'm sorry. I was
that's still a little
on,
better
I was,
than
I was still on my road trip, and for many hours in the car, I listened to talk radio and the news. So what can I say?
We didn't get much
it's
over
like
there.
It's a preschool show.
It is.
It's a preschool show.
The earlier they start,
and
the
it's
easier.
Already gotten worse.
Yeah.
But like when I was a kid, it was all just like fun shows, and then now it's all like everyone hates it. Just because what's been going on.
It's too bad. When you're 10, you can say when I was a kid.
But, like, so much has changed even in, like, 8 years. Mm-hmm. Like, just a ton. Even
since
with
you were
shows.
A kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on warp speed now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, Holly, what can the individual do? Because regardless of what guest we have on this show, the ongoing theme is we need to know what we can do as individuals, and I believe that it does have to happen at the local level. But what are your suggestions for our listeners?
Well, I have several. Number one is to understand that everyone, literally, in the United States, as well as our children, will be affected if we do not get green politics out of our schools. The first thing I would suggest is to understand what we are up against. And with that, I would suggest get a copy of Set Up and Sold Out, simply because it shows that these ideas did not fall from the sky yesterday afternoon. They have been part of the green agenda, the communist agenda, for years. And if you need to understand that so you can see it, so you can start looking at these issues through a political, not an environmental, lens. And I believe that's essential. And to use this book, as I do, as an activist tool, I have little yellow stickies throughout my book so that I can go to a page and help people understand that if we want a healthy environment, we must start making distinctions between green politics and environmental protection, because what we're looking at is either a green America or a free America, one or the other. They're not the same thing. So I would suggest get a copy of the book to arm yourself so that you know, and number two, so you can help educate others. Tell 10 that will tell 10. Tell your pastor, tell your school board. Then, secondly, work with Operation Greenout to get green politics out of your schools locally. And that is where we need to start. And Operation Greenout is a national citizens campaign to get green politics out in the open and out of America's schools as quickly as we can. Everybody can do something. I founded this campaign because I realized if we lose this battle, we lose our nation. We not only lose the ability to pass this legacy of freedom on to our children, basically we will lose our nation and we will all lose our freedom in the process. So work with the Operation Greenout campaign. We are catalyzing a movement on the local, state, and national level to reclaim our schools.
How do they do that, Holly? How would they plug in with Operation Greenout? Give folks a way to do that.
The best way to do it is either call the campaign and share with us your experience in your school, and we'll put together a team and start working in that area to help educate the teachers. You know, our objection is to the policy, not the people. And what we need to do is get those policies changed so that these programs are suspended. And we need to get them suspended locally, regionally, and nationally as soon as possible so that the people can take a look at the politicization of the curriculum. And how you plug into Operation Greenout is either call the campaign line directly or shoot us an email, and we will put you on the list.
And give us both of those here.
Okay. The Operation Greenout line is 541-830-1446. 541-830-1446. And the email is easy to remember, greenout@earthlink.net.
That's easy.
greenout@earthlink.net. And the one thing you can do today, everybody can do it today, is realize that the word green represents a political movement. Don't identify yourself with it. Lose the label. And, for example, I heard an ad for solar power. Solar power is an innovative idea that's been around here a long time. You don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We can still have innovation and ideas. That's what this nation is built on. Just don't call them green. And in that particular ad, they didn't. I just wanted to point out, we just need to make distinctions and lose the green label.
Okay. Yeah, because
it's the best things you can do.
That's the bad part, because when you want, you know, you can't really encourage people to be anti-green, because, I mean, gee, our ranchers and farmers and stuff, they always look at us and they go, but we were environmentalists long before it was popular, and
yeah.
Now all of a sudden, you know, being an environmentalist is a bad thing, and now they're not sure what they are.
Well, you see, and this is why it's so important to understand that we have basically, as a nation, been good stewards. We have taken care of the land. If not, the family farm couldn't have been passed on from generation to generation.
Exactly.
If people weren't taking care of the land. What we need to do is realize that this is a political movement, and you're not giving up, you know, your goal of environmental excellence to realize this is a political movement. Lose the label. Very similar to look at the Greens have done a lot in copycat politics to the Nazi movement, as well as what Lenin did. And it's important from a historical standpoint to learn from the mistakes of others, or we're doomed to repeat them. And what Hitler did was tell a very big lie and repeat it often to the point people started to believe it. He also created the idea with the Nazi youth and the Hitler youth that the earth was a living organism. And the kids had to go out and pick bugs off of trees and save that sacred soil. And flash forward, you know, into today, and the earth is being presented as a living being, Gaia, and the children must save the earth.
And not just a living being, but a god.
Exactly.
We got to come back in a couple of minutes here. We're going to chat some more about that. You are listening to Holly Swanson, the author of Set Up and Sold Out. Find out what the green movement really means. Sorry about that little blurb there. Holly Swanson, the author of Set Up and Sold Out. She'll be back with us here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
They come to America every time that flag's unfurled. They come to America.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
California's left-wing legislators are trying to pass more than 6 new anti-gun bills this year alone. We need your help to stop them. Gun Owners of California is fighting to protect your Second Amendment rights. Here's how you can help. Attend the annual fundraising dinner at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson on Friday, August 19th. Enjoy a great prime rib dinner, raffle, and auction, all starting at 5 p.m. in the Fusaro Hall at the fairgrounds. Win guns and other prizes and enjoy the company of fellow pro-gun Americans. Plus, find out what Gun Owners of California is doing to elect more pro-gun candidates to the state legislature in the 2012 election. You can make your reservation for the Reading dinner by calling 916-984-1400 or download the registration form on the website at www.gunownersca.com. Don't miss out on this chance to become a member of Gun Owners of California and help protect your Second Amendment. Get your tickets today, www.gunownersca.com, or call Julie at 916-984-1400.
Hey, love that song. sunshine. Yep. Don't try to shut it out.
Yeah, but based on the list of sustainability, we better be able to eat it.
Yeah.
So that's all we're gonna have left.
You're tuning in to the last 40 minutes, 40 plus minutes of We the People Radio. We still want to hear from you. Give us a call, 530-605-4567. To chat or stream live, go to wethepeopleradio.us. And we are here again with Holly Swanson, and we're talking about what green really means. And before we get to Charles on lane two, I just wanted to make a point. We were talking about what people can do, and there's nothing more effective than a grassroots movement. And we all know that just because of the power of the Tea Party. I mean, it's proven. It's proven that the grassroots movement really works. And it, and what people can do really is as simple as just doing a little bit of education for yourself and telling everybody what you know. And we look at the methods of the left and, you know, the EnviroWackos and all of those folks. And what they do is they sell the benefits of what they want, and they keep repeating things over and over and over and over until people begin to realize and believe that that's true. And so what we have to do is kind of copy their methods. I mean, it's working for them. It can work for us, too. So it's like me telling about Bert and Ernie getting married. I mean, people are shocked. But you tell enough people, and they see the ludicrousy of that, and they start to understand that it's as simple as spreading the word. And Holly,
I was just going to say, right along those lines, it's so important to understand that green communism is not dead. When you look at the common denominator as you're driving up I-5 and you see all the dead orchards, you realize that, you know, mm-hmm. Communism can be summed up in a single sentence, the abolition of private property. Mm-hmm. When you look at these issues, not from an environmental standpoint, but what happened to those poor people? They don't have their use of their property. And that's happening across the nation. When you go back to even as early as 1963, 45 goals of the Communist Party were entered into the congressional record. I think it was January 1963, by Cleon Skousen, a 16-year veteran of the FBI. And when you look at where we are right now, and you look at the information and set up and sold out, just let me read you a couple things, just what you just mentioned about Bert and Ernie. Number 26 on the communist goals, entered into the congressional record in 1963, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy.
And they're working really hard at that.
That's right. Number 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible.
Now,
think about a new Ten Commandments.
Yeah, exactly.
And here's another vitally important one. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in the textbooks. That was in 1963, and look where we are today. And the green movement is the vehicle to get that job done. And the green movement is the umbrella over Agenda 21, over ICLEI. And what we need to do is start looking at the outcome.
Now, Holly, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm starting to hear and see that there is a movement to pull kids out of public education. The numbers are dropping. Charter schools and homeschooling are on the rise. Does that give you hope that people are starting to figure this out?
Oh, it definitely gives me hope. I am extremely optimistic. They don't have the job done yet, and I'm absolutely positive we can turn this around. We just need to unite to get the job done. And the homeschool movement is excellent. That is just, you know, I encourage anybody who can to do so. However, we've got to get this out of our public schools. We cannot leave those children in this.
No, that, yeah.
way,
it has
period.
To be a dual effort.
We can't do it without them. Okay, so I'm going to be the advocate for Charles, who's been hanging on.
Sorry, Charles,
on
we forgot.
What did you say?
We have a caller online, too.
We have a caller online, too.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Charles knows that we sort of stink at the caller thing. We
he's used to us.
He's used to us.
He'll understand.
Good All morning, Charles.
Fire away, Charles.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, getting back to what people can do, it seems that some public school students themselves are in a unique position to help expose some of this stuff, particularly with the proliferation of smartphones and smartphones that have webcams and all this other stuff. I mean, some of the more outrageous examples of what's being taught can be captured on video and then posted within a matter of minutes.
That's a great idea.
I mean, how was Ward Churchill exposed? How was Acorn exposed?
Yeah, true story.
I mean, some of these public school students themselves can be part of the solution.
I think that's it.
And my only thought would be, you know, at an age-appropriate level, simply not to put the child in any form of, you know, defending that versus, you know, the parents coming in and cleaning and the teachers helping to clean the mess up and return our schools to safe havens of learning. I think at an age-appropriate level, that could be very helpful. I know that some of that is already occurring on the university level as well.
Here's the thing, though. When the parent comes to the classroom, sometimes it seems like the schools want to put their best foot forward, if they believe that that nobody is around to really call them on anything, then they can, you know, let their hair down, and when they let their hair down, the cell phones can be there to capture it all.
Yeah, good point. That's fun.
It is a good point. You know, I hadn't considered that, but you know, there are a lot of students who have come up to me and talked about grade discrimination and the use of the podium to tell the children that they don't know what they're talking about. You know, as far as any challenge to a green teacher's position is met with not understanding. It's not a tolerant response.
Well, they don't have to say anything. They just have to very quietly capture the footage and then post it without comment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if they...
let the footage speak for itself.
Sure. Yeah,
and
there you go. Operation Green ought to be a great place to do that. I mean, those would be great contacts for you, Holly, to reach out and be able to post those things anonymously so they don't really know where they came from. Even if you put like fuzziness over the teacher's face so that they don't, you know, so the kids can't get clipped for it. Mm-hmm. But, kids are pretty sly. They can pull that off.
Yeah, they could. And this really does exist in the schools because I've got nieces like Erin does, about the same age group, and on occasion they ask me to come help in their classroom. And last year I went into my niece's classroom, and at one point the teacher asked me if I would read a story to the kids. And I said, sure, I'll do that. So she hands me a book, and she says, you know, I just grabbed this from the library. I don't know what it's about. I haven't read it yet. So I open it up. I start to read this story, and in a nutshell, it's about a bird and the life of a bird as it travels around. And as you get further into the story, come to find out the logging industry is destroying the habitat for this bird.
Of course
and,
it is.
And loggers must, you know, we have to destroy the logging industry because now this bird can't go back and live in the tree that it was born in. And as I'm reading this story, I'm completely shocked at what I'm reading and the propaganda in this story. Fortunately, Nobody was paying any
recess
attention.
Came?
Yeah, fortunately, nobody was paying any attention to me, so I left out whole parts of the story as I was reading
it. Good job.
If I'd been smarter, I would have stolen the book and put it in my big purse.
What you're saying is the propaganda, those
it's
messages
there.
Are
it's
very,
there.
Very damaging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does exist. I saw it firsthand.
I read it firsthand.
Yeah, and it is of epidemic proportions. It is one of, if it is not... the top, and I do believe this, if there are three issues on our political leaders' plates, on the Tea Party plate, on that agenda, one of them ought to be getting this out of our schools, or we will lose our children, we will not be passing this legacy on, and we will be living in the future that the Greens envision, because they are indoctrinating the children to buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And very similar, like... Carlin was talking about, is that Earth Day is just, you know, pretty much a blast, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
They make it like a big party.
Yeah, it's more important than a lot of the actually important stuff. Like, more important than Halloween. Except Halloween is a big deal at our school. And I think Christmas is, like, so much lower than Halloween at our school. And I think Christmas should be above Halloween because...
yeah.
That's
so and I'm sure Easter is nowhere.
Oh, Easter's everywhere for kindergarteners.
Oh.
They do really important stuff for Easter with kindergartners. And then go on to first grade, like, being all ready for Easter, and there's nothing.
Easter's over then.
Yeah.
Interesting. So Earth Day is number one. Well, Halloween's number one.
Yeah.
Halloween. Probably. Okay. But based on what Holly's told us, that makes perfect sense. Halloween should lead. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Halloween should be the big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Exactly.
And we wouldn't want to celebrate Thanksgiving because, you know, that was when, you know, all of us haters came to this country and messed it up for everybody else.
Well, you know, Columbus started it all.
Yeah, but he wasn't, Columbus, what is it? We had to get rid of Columbus Day because it wasn't politically correct. It's like, oh, come on.
He was a bad guy. He started the whole thing. And you know, when we're talking about this curriculum, another important thing to understand, again, as we're making distinctions, is that the Earth Charter, as I had mentioned earlier, the Earth Charter is part of the Green Party agenda, part of their program. It is recognized as the ethical base of the Greens. And this is Mikhail Gorbachev's pet project. He co-authored it. And this has been selected as the tool, the Earth Charter. It's a set of 16 principles, 54 sub-principles, and it is designed and has been selected to teach our children how to live sustainably and to view this as, you know, a necessary law, not only in the United States, but internationally. And I just want to emphasize that this is what Gorbachev calls the new Ten Commandments, and the goal is that it becomes a common standard by which the conduct of all individuals, organizations, businesses, governments, and transnational institutions is to be guided and assessed. And if you're teaching our children that their behavior must be guided and assessed, and the Earth Charter is saying the goal is to guide and assess individual and government and business behavior, that is totally a goal to control. It is not a goal to work with.
Hmm.
And okay. That means you, and that means me, and we've got to get it stopped, or that's going to mean Carlin.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, and losing Easter at first grade will be small potatoes by then.
Hey, we need to take a quick break here. We're going to come back, and Holly, I want you to share with us some of the pieces of the Earth Charter, especially the parts you think people haven't ever heard of. We'll be back on We the People Radio with Holly Swanson here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Yeah, I think the battle lines have been drawn, and they've been drawn for some time, and we know what side we're on. So welcome back to We the People Radio.
Hey, we never said bye to Charles.
Bye, Charles.
Charles, are you still on there?
Yep.
Oh, did you have another question for Holly before we forget about you again for another 10 minutes? We're bad.
Nyet.
That's Russian, by the way.
I knew we'd get some good Russian out of you. All right.
See
you tomorrow, Charles.
You know, Holly, there's one thing. I don't know. Maybe it's a silver lining in this whole environmental green push. But what we're finding is that as this movement destroys our ability to work our land and produce for our families and for the country, people are starting to go back to taking care of themselves. I think there's a huge increase in home gardens, for instance. People still want good food to eat, and I really see that people are starting to get back to relying on themselves, which, you know, in sort of a backwards way, is a really good thing because the government would love to have us reliant on them.
Well, this is true. There's a And you know, I grew up with my folks always had gardens, and that was a big part of our life. And just to take it one step further, where the value of people doing their own gardens, there's no question there. Where the Greens are headed with that, however, it's an important heads up. The idea of the Greens right now creating the concept of self-reliant communities as part of the, you know, part of their whole push, that sounds really good. However, the goal of that, when you look at, for example, capitalism is individual control of production and distribution. Socialism is supposedly public control of production and distribution. Communism is government control of production and distribution. And when you look at the long-term outcome for where the Greens are headed by promoting these self-reliant communities is not the garden. That's the hook. That's something that is good and it's healthy. But the idea is if you turn local farms into local production for the community, and say in Corvallis, Oregon, the idea is to produce 60% of the food for Corvallis, you know, and surrounding counties through local farms, which sounds really good. However, the next stage is that once the community becomes dependent on those farms and that farm is used to put food in the food bank, then the next step is the land that is producing that food becomes the community property, becomes nationalized,
and
the government takes control by eminent domain because they need the food.
Okay, I saw this firsthand in Dillon, Colorado. My husband and I were visiting his daughter, and she's gone through a leadership program similar to one that we have here in Reading. And the project that her group decided to take on was to build a community garden. And they were awarded a $20,000 grant to build a greenhouse structure. And guess where they put it? Anybody want to guess?
On the school grounds?
On the school grounds.
Stop it.
Yeah. Seriously? On the school grounds.
Huh. And that teaches the children to be little worker bees on a work farm in the future.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're like going back in time.
Yeah.
It is.
Beautiful.
It's. I mean, unfortunately, the strategy is very well thought out. You know, and when you think about, just to throw this in there, Khrushchev said back in 1958, we will take you over from within without firing a single shot. Mm-hmm. You may not be a communist, but your grandchildren certainly will, was his warning. And this is why they're going after the children. And this is why the Earth Charter being used as a teaching tool. You said, what were some of the things of the Earth Charter? Well, one of them is the redistribution of the wealth within nations and among nations so that everybody's basic needs are met. Does that not sound like the former Soviet Union?
Yep. Yeah, and if people want to really experience the Soviet Union, they can just pick a foot, right or left, and take all the shoes from that foot, and give them to your next door neighbor, and everybody switch the right shoe from every pair of your shoes to the next door neighbor because none of their shoes there match, because they have shoe stores for right shoes and for left shoes because there are no real shoe stores for pairs of shoes because things are so incredibly screwed up,
and no incentive.
It's just a total nightmare.
Yeah,
they search for pairs of shoes. Can you imagine that? Most people are like,
terrible.
What? I mean, our closets have more pairs of shoes. Anybody's closet in this country has more pairs of shoes than any store in Russia.
Probably.
Stupid.
And, you know, an old communist joke is the government, you know, this is one of the quote-unquote peasants referring to the government, is they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And if you look at the history of North Vietnam and South Vietnam, when was it North Vietnam that took over South Vietnam in the 60s, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
You can see how they took over South Vietnam, and what they did was they broke it down into small individual communities. They didn't go in and just take over the whole country. They went in and infiltrated. And it was much easier to take the prisoners and put them in charge of the tax-paying citizens because they just went into individual communities and turned the bad guys against the good guys. And it was really easy to take over that way. They break it down into bite-sized pieces when they infiltrate.
And that's literally when you think school by school and taking the kids school by school to indoctrinate them while nobody's paying attention and using their charter to get the job done, that's why we've got to put a spotlight on that and a big one.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing is this has been their mission. I mean, this is what they do and who they are, and they've put everything they have and everything they are into this strategy to take over while the rest of us have been living lives of building families, building communities,
absolutely,
paying taxes, going to work, going to church,
but see, sometimes
minding our own business.
And also looking at this from the outside going, this wouldn't really happen. And then when you kind of realize maybe it sort of is happening, then people look at it and go, well, it's too far gone. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely not. That we can definitely turn this ship around. There's no question in my mind. We just have to pick our battles, pick our battlefields, unite, and, you know, go for it.
And the thing is,
these are our schools. These are our kids.
Exactly. And if you don't want to do it for yourself, you have to do it for your kids.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
I'm fanning through the book here, and I'm looking at the green IQ test.
Oh.
I love the green IQ test.
I'm not sure of what page that's on.
Sorry, 285.
Okay.
Yeah, this
green
is...
green IQ test. I know that there's several in there. Just a minute, let me get back to it.
Yeah, I thought this is pretty telling. Like, have we been set up is the precursor to that on that page, and it says Americans are not on the alert for communism. And it's funny, we talk about it a lot, but I think a lot of people don't really understand what communism... I think we know the end result of communism, which is hundreds of thousands of people get killed. Mm-hmm. But I don't think people necessarily see the preliminary signs, and a lot of times it's one of those things, if you say so-and-so's, you know, a communist. We've kind of made jokes about it for a lot of years. Don't be a commie.
And the point is that if you really look at this through a political lens, and it is a green IQ test, the communist said, as soon as your guard's down, we'll smash you with our clenched fist. And the point is, we have been basically conditioned, for lack of a better word, that, you know, communism is dead, the walls come down, and, you know, we're all in this safe and peaceful world. And to the point where I put this on the book, if we are too afraid to talk about the C word, if we're too afraid to start looking at communism, we've already submitted to the program.
Yeah.
And that's why we really need to realize that the outcome of this is not socialism, it's communism. That is why the abolition of private property. And when you look at where the Greens are headed, there's no question where they're headed. And if you look at it from a political standpoint, it's very easy to see.
Sure, because like here in the Green IQ test, it says, is using entertainment to brainwash Americans, well, I think that's a pretty easy sell, is telling mm-hmm. Americans to change all their values, again, easy sell, mm-hmm. Is urging Americans to support the Earth Charter concept, urging America to be the first to sign the Earth Charter, using it to illegally impose its values on Americans, and the values can become compulsory green living.
Mm-hmm.
That's the get rid of the plastic bags.
Well, yes,
you know, we've got
green living.
That's it.
Of course,
you know,
you can't
one washing machine for 20 people, lights out by 10 a.m., mandatory tree hugging on Sunday, and.
Yeah.
That's what they had defined as that, rationed lentils. And, you know, that sounded, you know, when I first read it way back when, that sounded a little far-fetched, except when you read all the other literature that supported that and realized how the Greens were heading that direction, it certainly makes more sense now when the goal of education for sustainability is to diminish the value of individual success. Walk or ride your bike or skateboard, don't use a car, you know, and reduce your consumption by 75%. If everybody reduces their consumption by 75%, what would your lifestyle look like?
Yeah, you have 2 minutes to contemplate that, by the way. We're going to take a swift break here, and we'll be right back. In those 2 minutes, I don't want you to use any energy either, by the way. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Who are we? I don't even recognize. recognize what's happening to our country. Who are we? Welcome back to We the People Radio. Last chance to call, 530-605-4567. If you can't call in and you didn't get a chance to listen, go to our webpage at wethepeopleradio.us, pull up the archives. They're all there. So, Holly, we're coming up on our last 10 minutes. What do you want people to really know? Anything we've left out?
Well, I don't know. There's so much to cover, but I think a couple of things. Number one, I don't quote Al Gore very often, but I'm going to do it at this point. In his book, Earth in the Balance, he made a very valuable point. He said, "And it is no accident that the very worst environmental tragedies were created by communist governments in which the power of the state completely overwhelms the capabilities of the individual steward." And that's on page 432 of Set Up and Sold Out. And, you know, for everyone listening, if you care about the environment, the last thing we want to do is head toward communism, where people do not have the freedom to take care of the land, take care of the animals. And when we look at what is going on, the next most important thing with our children is to understand this needs to be a top priority in our personal lives, in the grassroots movements, in the Tea Parties. We've got to align with Operation Green Out and get green politics out in the open, and most of all, out of America's schools immediately, if not sooner. Mm-hmm. And to understand that the environmental green movement is a partisan front for the green parties and green communism. It's critical to understand that and start looking at these issues through a political, not an environmental lens. I believe this is one of the most important issues of our time. We've got to get it out of our schools, and we need to proceed quickly.
Yeah, and we need to find, I guess, for the rest of us who understand that this is a political agenda, our job really is to find a bit of a replacement, because just taking the idea that we're going to get rid of taking care of the environment out of our schools at this point is kind of pie in the sky. Mm-hmm, but to replace it with, like, say, responsible stewardship instead of, they haven't taken that word yet, have they? Do we still get to have stewardship?
No, do we need to trademark
that? They haven't taken stewardship, but it's a line that the Greens do use. And I believe that if we return America's school to a quality, basic education, and the environment is a part, as it was when I went to school, the environment was certainly part. We, learned to take care of, learned to use one paper towel instead of two. And I believe that the environmental education is way out of control. Every piece of the Green Party agenda is in that environmental education. We do need to remove it. I believe that we need to return to a quality basic education of which the environment is a part. But the whole hoax of the Green movement is that the environment is collapsing, and that's why this big push in the 80s and 90s to get environmental education as a top priority in our schools occurred. Where did it come from? It came from the Greens. They have pushed this into our schools and made it a top priority right on up there with math and history. And I think if we return to a quality basic education where environmental education has an appropriate point, I think we can do it, and I think we can get back our schools.
Yeah, and I also think that that a lot of these budgetary constraints, I mean, as they're choking down industry and really making it impossible for us to use our natural resources, which is how we have really become wealthy in this country, by managing our resources, our timber, our fisheries, all those things. As the budget goes way down, it's going to become easier, I think, to cut those things out of the curriculum. Because that ultimately becomes fluff if, in fact, we value reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Exactly. If we return to the basics, then all this social curriculum, whether it is, same-sex
marriage, that's a good way to put it.
Whether it is, all this social curriculum, get out of those schools and let children emerge from the educational process with their own beliefs and values intact. And one of the things that you were mentioning about natural resources and how wealth was built in this country, it's important to understand in the Earth Charter, it says use the precautionary approach. Take action to avoid the possibility of serious or irreversible environmental harm, even when scientific knowledge is incomplete or inconclusive. So this is one of the points of the Earth Charter. In other words, even if you have no reason or facts to back it up, and you think something might be bad for the environment, well, then that's your excuse to shut it down. And this is what our kids would be learning. That's not science. That's environmental ethics according to the Earth Charter. That's why the whole environmental education needs to be taken out, reevaluated, and some proper perspective put back in. That's why we've got to suspend the education for sustainability programs nationwide.
Yeah, well,
and together we can do it. I know we can.
Yeah, we absolutely can. And having you on our show today and promoting your book, promoting your organization is the perfect way to facilitate that process, because
we appreciate that.
Everybody that's listening, everybody that's on the chat room, they now know, and each person can take the responsibility of telling 10 other people. That's really that's all it takes. We don't have to do anything. Yeah, and as individuals, we don't have to do anything monumental. All we have to do is get enough understanding of the problem and just tell other people.
Well, do you find, Holly, that this is like so many other things that a lot of times people don't speak out because they think they're the only one, and people will be ugly to them about it? I think the more people we talk to and we say, gosh, you know what, this is really out of hand, do you realize where this is headed? I think people realize, hey, there's a little strength in numbers going on, because right now they feel outgunned.
Exactly. And the point is that this is a well-financed minority movement, but it is a minority movement. And, you know, right now, we will not be outgunned. And that's why the book, like I said, I have all kinds of tickies in my book so I can help people understand that this is a plan, and if as they educate themselves and educate others, it's so many people have said, now that I've read the book, I can see it, and I believe it is an education tool. That's how I wrote it.
And I bet you do a lot of support for teachers who, because not all teachers are into this.
So for the
zillions of teachers that are going, I'm buried in this, you know, I could use a little help.
Yeah, exactly.
You have resources for them?
Well, yeah, and those that consider themselves green. These are our compatriots. And those who have jumped on the green bandwagon and didn't realize it was taking a sharp left turn toward green communism, they need a helping hand back. You know, they have been duped, and when they understand sustainability is communism with a facelift, they have a way back. And for heaven's sakes, we need to get our country back on track, and everybody needs to help with that. And I would just, you know, like to close or just say this as a closing remark. On page 338, Ted Turner said, back in 1999, and he is, a philanthropist for the Greens. He's the guy that said Christianity is an eco-unfriendly religion. And he said, I think we're smarter than the opposition. We're better educated, and I put my money on the smart minority rather than the dumb majority.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
And we're not a dumb majority. We've just been too trusting. And he said right there, a mouthful, the smart minority. They are a minority. They're not that smart. We just need to trust ourselves and start using the facts to turn this mess around.
Yeah, yeah. Trust your instincts.
And there are a lot of people who would like to. I think they don't know how. And I don't think sometimes they think there's any hope in doing it and that there's any way back. So we super appreciate all the work you're doing. And I can't believe you've been saying this since 1985 and we're just like hearing about you now. So
okay, so
sorry
one
about
more
that.
Time.
They've done it below the radar. That's been deliberate. That is a deliberate
strategy.
They're
insidious.
So we just get it out in the open. And I'll tell you what, Carlin, this is for you. Right, this is for you. That's why we do what we do for the children of this nation. And quite frankly, the Greens want to do this to children all over the world. So we have to start here to clean up this mess.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, before we go, can you, again, just give us the contact information, ways for people to get in touch with you? I know you did it before, but one more time.
Absolutely. Please give us a call at the Operation Greenout Campaign 541-830 1446. 541-830-1446. Or shoot us an email at greenout, G-R-E-E-N-O-U-T, at earthlink.net. Greenout at earthlink.net. And we'd love to hear from you. And, you know, we just need to remember that. United, we stand.
Divided,
we fall.
Everybody
can do something.
Yep.
Thank you.
Divided, we wander in a wasteland that has no meat, no fish, no vegetables.
Thank you, Holly.
You are welcome.
Hey,
you
thanks, Holly. We appreciate it. See you next week on We the People Radio, everybody. You're listening to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Nothing ever got to me like a rock. I was something to see like a rock.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.